Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Bersatu is currently holding a Supreme Council party meeting tonight, chaired by Bersatu President and Acting Chairman Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. Now, Tun Dr. Mahathir and former Deputy President Mukhlis Mahathir, however, were not invited to this event. And while there was no agenda given for tonight's emergency meeting, it has been reported that Bersatu will be discussing how the party can merge with UMNO. The other motion that is said will be finalised tonight is the sacking of Dr. Mahathir and his faction. Now, Sharad, Bersatu is still continuing to take centre stage, dominating headlines today. Observers now waiting to see what the main contenders will do and its impact on the current government. What do you think?
Well, Melissa, we've had a conversation on this show about the debates within Bersatu and the different factions, what the stakes are. And we see its reverberations not just at the federal level, but also state level with the fall of Kedah. And then, of course, we still have the continuing troubles in the state of Johor in the south. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, there is the larger, I think, question of stability and governance, which other observers are taking this conversation. So they're taking the conversation to this other level and saying, well, okay, I mean, if this shift in allegiances, and we had, of course, the news of the Deputy Minister of Works resigning today as well, I think what we will have to contend with is the question of the stability of the next government, if this government in fact
falls. Well, I think that's interesting. The Deputy Works Minister, Shahrudin Saleh, has resigned today, saying that he made, quote-unquote, a political mistake in supporting Perikatan Nasional. Now, the Sri Gadang MP seemingly contradicted himself, though. He said that he remains a supporter of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and remains a Perikatan Nasional backbencher. That's what he said. But then again, we have reports that at 5:30 earlier today, he had gone to visit Tun Dr. Mahathir. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
Yeah, and in fact, if you follow social media, it was on Twitter, I think Tun Dr. Mahathir tweeting this out from his account of the meeting, from video of the appearance of the former Deputy Works Minister. Again, Melissa, you know, it's all kind of smoke and mirrors at this point in time in terms of where exactly will all this land in terms of allegiances. And of course, a lot of the conversations are about the numbers in Parliament.
Yes.
But if the move by Sri Gadang MP means that Perikatan Nasional has lost one MP on its side, as now it's held, this government has a majority of one, according to some calculations. The question is, even if Perikatan comes to power, how much will its majority be? And will it be sufficient to govern in a way that would be, keeping up with the kinds of reform agendas that they had? What will they be able to deliver with the slim majority that they have?
Will it be a stable government, right?
Indeed.
Well, let's move on to other news. Now, according to a report by SOXO, job losses in the country have increased by 42% for the first quarter of 2020, this compared to the same period last year. And this year-on-year increase is expected to rise by 50 to 200% for each subsequent quarter of the year. Now, the SOXO report also shows that more than 60% of job losses are among workers aged 40 and below, and that the areas that we see the highest job losses are in Selangor, followed by Kuala Lumpur, Johor, Kedah and Penang. Very troubling news indeed, Chua.
Yeah, because, you know, those areas are perhaps the much more industrialised areas of the country. Also, Melissa, we are getting reports of how each sector of the economy is dealing with the fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic and also the anticipated recession, a global one, not just local. We have the airline sector, you know, that's been in the news the last couple of days too. Expected losses or reorganisation in Malindo, in AirAsia, all this there in the news as well. well. So very troubling, because the question is, what kind of social safety net are there, is there for workers? I mean, you know, and how will they sustain themselves over the long period, considering that it's very unclear how long this recession, how deep this recession is going to be?
And I have to say, it's not just those who have lost their jobs. Even the ones who have jobs still are facing some kind of job pay cut or a reduction in their salary. So a Job Street survey found that more than a third of Malaysians have taken a pay cut. Some people have taken as high as a 30% pay cut. Now, the survey also found, this according to Job Street, that one in five Malaysians lost their jobs since the MCO. And these are the more short-term contract workers and also in the lower salary range, which is troubling because, again, perhaps these are the people who may not have enough of a financial buffer to weather difficult times.
Yeah, and a long, drawn-out season of, you know, either unemployment or underemployment. There are, I mean, silver linings, you know, in the media reports, you know, attempts by, well, my Adun, Rajiv Rishikar, in Petaling Jaya, you know, in a recent report saying that he's got a scheme to help Malaysians find jobs in wet markets and earn salaries up to 2,000 ringgit a month. Yeah. So that's not, you know, it's not a huge salary, but when you think about the opportunities for, especially working class Malaysians, you know, it's interesting to see who's creating an impact by actually thinking about concrete programs for those who've lost jobs.
Well, we know that the Prime Minister said he will be announcing a short-term economic recovery plan tomorrow at 3 p.m. So you can watch that speech live on Astrawani Channel 501, or you can watch it on all our digital platforms. Now, we're going to take a quick break, but after this, we're going to be hearing from early childhood care practitioners and providers about the realities in reopening these centres post-MCO. So stay tuned to consider this. We'll be right back.